Praise the Lord, everyone.
Thank you so much for all that you have given tonight. I am deeply appreciative. Brother Hendricks is just a wonderful person, isn't he? He's just a wonderful person. He has one of the most kind Christian spirits. In fact, I'll make a confession to you here tonight. I am usually pretty careful what I say about him, or when I'm in his presence, rather, because he'll let you say it, but then he'll very kindly say something that just brings so much conviction you wish you just kept quiet. So I'm usually very careful what I say around him. He's such a Christian. I thank God for men of God among us who can help us. It's marvelous to have someone to bounce things off from. We had great conversation in the car last night coming here from the airport. And just some of the things he talked about, I felt washed by the word of the Lord. I felt great in my soul as a result of just being in his presence. You're blessed to have him as a pastor. And I can tell you over 10 years, something marvelous has happened in this area over 10 years. There's a break here. There's something different here than there was when I first came. I can remember Sister Hendricks dancing almost like a Comanche Indian down the aisle, shouting in those first two or three camp meetings. I don't know if she still does it or not. Does she? Oh, that's great. But tonight, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord and to feel his presence. There are a lot of things I could do tonight, but I just feel to do this. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, Jesus preached the greatest sermon of his entire ministry to just one man. And I want to read that to you tonight within your hearing and draw from it for this service. How many people are here tonight who believe in Jesus? How many people are here tonight who love Jesus? Two hands for me. How many people are here tonight who love Jesus, believe in Jesus, but you have never ever spoken with tongues anywhere in your life, even though you believe in Jesus and you love Jesus? Would you raise your hands? Is there anyone? There's a man there, there's a man there, there's a woman there, there's a man there. Anyone else? You believe in Jesus, you love him, but you've never ever spoken with tongues anywhere in your life. Don't be afraid. Are there young people? Are there children here? Does everyone have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There are some here that do not. Jesus tonight, in this place, wants you to renew the Holy Ghost that you have, or to receive it if you've never received it. Everyone say amen. Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says here, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except, everyone say except, a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Everyone say, born again. And verse 8, in conclusion with this reading, Jesus goes on to say, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I simply want to entitle this tonight, what does it mean to be born again? Would you lift your hands, your voices and your hearts, and would you pray with me? Because I feel tonight there will be information and revelation transmitted to some of you that you'll be able to use powerfully in your own personal ministries. So, tonight, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonder-working power of the Holy Ghost. I praise you for the excitement that is here tonight. I thank you for these blessed and wonderful people. I thank you for Brother and Sister Hendricks and their ministry. I praise you for what you're going to do in the camp meeting. I thank you for coming to this service tonight ahead of us, to meet us, to touch us, to lift us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. I praise you for the majesty and the power of your name, that you will, O Master of the universe, walk in the aisles of this place. Hear us and help us tonight. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all of these things in Jesus' blessed and wonderful name. And everyone said, Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap your hands for the Lord for just a moment? And would you lift your voice of praise to Him? Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel something wonderful here tonight. I feel something powerful in this house, and there is faith upon this congregation tonight. And because there is faith in this place, and because the presence of Jesus is here, anything is possible in the presence of the Lord. Now, let's clap again. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. And would you let your voice out and just praise Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you tonight for the demonstration of your Spirit. I thank you tonight for the power of your name and the glory of your presence in Jesus' name. I was not raised in Pentecostalism. I found this, or this found me, when I was 23 years of age. I actually was a follower, you might say, of Billy Graham. Billy Graham was my hero when I was a late teenager. I went to the Evangelical Free Church. I was involved in Campus Crusade, Youth for Christ. I was involved in all kinds of things. I went to a church where they didn't allow you to go to the movies, not even a Walt Disney Living Desert movie. Nobody smoked in that church. Nobody drank in that church. They had a midweek prayer meeting, and they lived what they knew, and they told me that if I would accept Christ as my own personal Savior, I would be saved. They never were able to tell me exactly how to do it. But they had mechanics that I went through, and I did what I was told. You and I are at the mercy of those who teach us, and most people will never know more than what the pulpit gives to them, because most people will not let their hunger rise above what they're hearing and reach out for more. But there was something in me that always knew that there was more than what I had been told. There was something else, because I could read the scriptures and there was power, there was demonstration there, there were healings and there were miracles. Yet, when I went to Billy Graham Crusades, I could feel the presence of God. I remember going to McCormick Place on the shores of Lake Michigan and sat with 60,000 people and heard a 2,000 voice choir robed in white sing, "How Great Thou Art," and sat there and wept and cried. I know now, if someone like you had got a hold of me, I would have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to get into what I was feeling. And in the Evangelical Free Church where I went, if anyone became emotional, it embarrassed them. They didn't know what to do with you. I remember one Sunday night, there was a woman who just came in off the street, and she got to crying and came to the altar. And they were so fouled up, it messed up the whole service. They had to get the deacons, they had to get the elders, they had to get a hold of her, they tried to get her out of the altar, and they led her back here into an office and closed the door. I was in the audience, and I knew there was something not right about that. But I didn't know what. But I was at the mercy of those who taught me, and I kept going, and I would take youth groups to Billy Graham Crusades, and I was in Youth for Christ and Campus Crusade, and I was a licensed counselor, and I was involved. But then someone invited me to a service like this. You know what my response was to the you people the first time I sat among you? I said to myself, if I ever get out of here alive, I'll never be back. I never saw anything like you. And I was uncomfortable with it. But you are the reason that I am where I am tonight. Because you began to preach the thing that I had always felt was missing. But I fought you. I fought you. Because when I came in among you the first time, you had the audacity to say to me that I was not saved. And I resented you for it. And I remember the first service I was in. I sat there. They took off 95 miles an hour. I never heard such goings on. I'm going about 5. I'm either on idle or about 5 miles an hour. I've never clapped in church before. I don't know how to raise my hands. I can't wave my hands, and I'm definitely not going to jump up and down in church. I mean, there is no way. So you're doing all this, and I'm not. And I stick out like a sore thumb. And so, they carry on, and finally they stop, and they're going to have what they call, what you people call a praise service. People began to stand and begin to tell what God had done for them. And it was very interesting because I'd never heard anything like this. They didn't do this in the Evangelical Free Church. So I was very interested in what you people were saying. And it sort of got my mind off from things. But then, all of a sudden, the pastor in the pulpit says, we are so glad to have this Mr. Stone King with us here tonight. I picked him up and brought him to service, and I was in his home, and I believe that he loves God, and we'd like him to stand and say something. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that as a visitor, a stranger, they would embarrass me and put me on the spot. And I thought to myself, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, now you're on. The curtains are open, and you're going to have to do something. And all of a sudden, he stopped, and I have to do something. So I stand, and I say, I'm so glad to be here tonight. It was a total lie. I don't know where those words came from. I could hardly wait to get out of there. I had no intention of ever coming back again. And of course, they thought that was wonderful. And then I said, I want you to pray for me. I want the truth. I don't know where those words came from. I don't know where they came from. And the people began to cheer. And he lit up like a light bulb in the pulpit. And I sat down and I thought to myself, Stone King, you have done it now. You have done it. These people. And they went on, and he preached a message on hellfire and brimstone, unlike anything you've ever heard. The most pitiful stories, people dying in hell and wanting cold water and all kinds of things. And the sweat is coming up. I'm in misery. I'm twisting around on this pew. I'm having a terrible time. And this little boy comes running down the aisle, and he gets in the seat beside me. And I'm so glad for this kid, because it's going to divert my attention from this guy in the pulpit that's just breathing down my neck. And so I lean down to hear what this child has to say. And this child looks up at me and he says, I've always waited for someone like you to come along. And I thought, oh, kid, get lost. This is not what I want to hear. This is not what I need to hear. He was no help. He was just more emotional. He was more loving, and I couldn't handle it. And they gave this altar call. And he went on and on and on. And he kept calling for sinners. And I'm the only visitor here. And I'm not going. I am not going. And I didn't go. Finally, the service is over. Finally. In the church where I went, the service started at 8. It was out at 9. Here, you can start at 7, and you don't know when you're going to get out. This thing will go on and on and on. And they went on and on and on and on. And finally, it ended. And I wanted to go home, but they wanted me to come upstairs. We were worshiping in the basement of this parsonage. It was a home missionary setting. A lot of stories, a lot of details. But they want me to come upstairs now and have dessert, something to eat after church, which is a famous Pentecostal tradition. You always eat after church. And so I went upstairs and they served this pie and coffee. And then in front of these people, he asked me to say grace. I thought, there's no hope for these people. There's no escape. These people have no manners at all. That's exactly what I thought. So I just bowed my head. I said, grace. We finally got in the car, and he was driving me across town to the home where I lived. I was a student at Drake University at night, spending all my money on college classes, and so I didn't go to the expense of having a car. I used public transportation. But I was a student at night at Drake University. So in the course of the trip home, I was hugging the car door. I wanted to get as far away from this man as I possibly could. There was something coming from him that I could feel, and it just unnerved me, and I was trying to keep away from him. And so he said, "We're so glad you came tonight." I made no comment at all until he said, "And we'll call you." I said, no, don't you call me. I'll call you. In other words, if I'm coming back again, I'm going to do the phoning. I don't want you making any phone calls to me. But I got out of the car. I was in misery. I suffered with conviction because you people had a hold of something. I felt more of God in that basement, in that parsonage, with a handful of people than I had felt with 60,000 people under a Billy Graham canopy and crusade. I felt more of the presence and power of God with a handful of people like you. And I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand it. And so I began to study. And I fought you. That's why no matter what you say to me, no matter what you do to me, no matter if you like this or throw books at me as you go out the door, it doesn't faze me. I can hang in there. I can believe for you. Because if you've been in the service tonight, and if you've tapped your foot, we've got you. It's just a matter of time. If you've clapped your hands, we've got you. If you sang with us, we've got you. Because you've already gotten involved physically with him. And when you get involved physically with him, he gets involved physically with you. And you will not be able to retain it. You will not be able to shake it. It's just a matter of time. Clap your hands again and shout with a voice of triumph unto the Lord. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you feel the Holy Ghost becoming stirred inside of you? You may have had the Holy Ghost for 60 years, but if you will let him become alive inside of you tonight, if you will stir him up, it will set your feet to dancing. It will set your hands to clapping. It will cause you to speak with tongues again. It will take away the weariness, because it is written, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." This is the refreshing. This is the rest. This is the fire. This is the joy. This is a peace. This is deliverance. This is salvation. This will do it like nothing else will do it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You had said, "You're not saved. Don't have enough." I went home, and I fought this and struggled with this and struggled with it. And one night, I came home from work, and I thought, "I'm going to have this thing out with God. I'm going to figure out who's right or who's wrong here. I'm going to get this together. I'm not living in misery like this anymore." So, I came home from work, I ate something real fast, swallowed a whole, took the phone off the hook, pulled all the shades in my house down, locked all the doors, and got my Bible, and got down on my knees at a footstool in my living room, and I opened to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and I began to read, because I knew those scriptures, I'd read them before. I'd used them to help others try to accept Christ as their own personal Savior. I quoted these scriptures. I knew they were there. And I began to read. When you begin to read, when the Bible says, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews."
means he was a brilliant man. That man had rehearsed the scriptures backwards and forwards all of his life. He knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. He was a ruler of the Jews. But if you read carefully, it is obvious from the context of the Holy Writ that this Nicodemus had evidently been on the fringe elements of the crowd during the day. He had come to hear this Jesus, and he was persuaded that there was something about him, that this Jesus had something, and he came under the cover of night to question him. That means he did not want his colleagues in the temple to know that he was beginning to believe in this Jesus. He came under the cover of night so as not to be seen. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus saw the hunger in his heart and life. And Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." People, that's a very simple statement, but it's very powerful, because it means exactly what it says. Either you are born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. So far, so good, though, because I've been through this before. And I had answers for this. But Nicodemus, thinking naturally, he looked at Jesus. He said, "How? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He was thinking naturally, carnally. But Jesus was talking about something in addition to being born naturally as a human being the first time. Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth that puts man in a spiritual realm beyond the natural realm of human flesh and reasoning and logic and understanding. So Jesus, being a master teacher, he had first said, "Except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." But now, after Nicodemus' questions hit, now Jesus breaks it down into two parts. Now he says, "Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water," everyone say water, "and of the Spirit," everyone say Spirit, say water. Son, find a place and sit down. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Find a seat, sit down. You disrupt everything. Let's worship the Lord for a moment. I don't want you moving while I'm preaching. This is an absolute necessity. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. There are people here tonight that are seeing in the Spirit. I don't want it interrupted. I don't allow people to move any place when I'm preaching. And when I passed it, I'd shoot you dead if you did it. Because you disrupt the entire spirit world. What you do when I'm not here is your business. But when I'm here, this is the place of God. God is in this house. You can feel Him. You can feel Him in this house. You know why we don't have more miracles in this country? Because our people are disrespectful to the presence of God. We treat Him as just a non-entity. We take advantage. We become so familiar with each other. We just come and go and talk and yak. One of the worst things you can do is talk at the back of a church when there are people here praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's one of the worst things you can do. This is birth chamber. It's not a place to come. If you want to talk about ball games, go out on the porch out there and talk about it. Talk about dress sales, do it outside. Don't do it in here. That's how I pastored. You may love me as an evangelist, but you'd probably hate me as a pastor because I ran a tight ship. But we had miracles. People were healed in song services. People got the Holy Ghost. Teenagers came in off the street and got the Holy Ghost in the song service. And there's an anointing upon these young people. Now listen to this choir here tonight. You people have got something going here. But if you'll just show up a little bit and say, "I'm going to make myself do it bigger and better and more intense than I've ever done it," there's a revival trying to happen in this place. There's something trying to happen in this place that's never happened before. There's something trying to happen. There's something wants to get a hold of some of you. I watched you dance and shout
Everybody should be doing that. I should have been doing that with you. I'm trying to save my strength to preach this message. But I'm telling you, you've got a hold of something, lady. There's something a lot of you have got a hold of. But some of you haven't done it for so long, you're afraid to get into it. You need to get into it tonight. You need to stir yourself up and get into it tonight. Why? We're at the end. People, we're at the end. This is the time to do it. If you like to dance, you need to dance. If you like to shout, you need to shout. If you like to clap, you need to clap. Whatever your thing is, get into it and do it. Because He's coming. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Now, clap your hands again. Let your voice out. I can feel the Holy Ghost becoming stirred in some of you. The Holy Ghost is being stirred inside of some of you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful what I'm feeling in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. If you've got the baptism of Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Right there, you're seated. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Let Him through you. He wants you. He wants to get out. Once you get the Holy Ghost moving in your soul tonight, then the doors are open for God to move in the Spirit. You can be healed right there where you're seated on the pew. You can be touched and strengthened right where you are on that pew. Don't need me to lay hands on you. You don't need someone to anoint you with oil. That's all Bible. But wherever the presence of God is, anything can happen. I'm telling you, anything can happen. Because as easily as you feel Him, you can just suddenly be all right. It can just suddenly leave your body. You understand you're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is not just some religious meeting. Jesus of Nazareth is in this house. And because He is here, anything can happen. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's put a tail on that and just worship the Lord again. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord that is upon some of these young people. It's all right to cry. You can go ahead and cry because you feel something in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's an anointing in the air in this sanctuary here tonight. I worship you for it. I worship you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Jesus. Jesus, help us to empty our souls out before you tonight, to be changed by the touch of the Master's hand. I worship you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all just lift our hands and join them for just a moment before I continue. Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you for an awakening upon us and among us in this house. Help us to see signs, wonders, and miracles. It's only when we come together in one mind and one accord that all of this will fall into place. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, except you are born again of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot
enter into the kingdom of God. First he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now he says, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he broke it down. He said, in essence, a born-again experience is comprised of two parts, water and spirit. And except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Powerful. It's a powerful statement. Simple, but powerful. It means exactly what it says. And the thing about so-called Christianity in this world tonight is that most Christian churches, many of them will say to you, yes, you need to be born again, but they will not agree on how you are born again. And it's not my traditions that count. It's not your traditions that counts. It's what the Bible says that counts. That's what counts. It's not what man has written. It's what the Bible says that counts. Most people understand and know that to be born of water means to be baptized. So as long as you understand that, let's go on to being born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born again of the Spirit? This is the thing that puzzled me about you Pentecostals. This is the thing that puzzled me. Because Brother Butcher had said to me specifically, he said, unless you speak with tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. And I didn't like it. But he was authoritative about it. You know something? You can't get anybody saved until you first get them lost. We pad things too much, people. They need to feel the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the revelatory power of the Word of God. That's what shakes them loose. Everyone say amen. Everyone that is here tonight, if I could get any one of you and sit down alone by yourself and ask you, why are you here and not where you came from? You would all say basically the same thing. Because this is better than where I was. That's why we're here tonight. Because this is better than where we were. The Evangelical Free Church has nothing to compare with this. Billy Graham has nothing to compare with this. You all should be shouting and dancing with that. You ought to. Because it's the truth. Nobody can compete with you when you really get into your thing. When you Pentecostals get wound up, there is nobody that can compete with you. Even the devils pack bags and leave. They say, these people, the power is here. I can't do anything here. That's how it is. That's how it is. You people really do have it. You people really do have it. You people really do have it. How many times do I have to say it? You really have it! He's alive inside of you. He's alive inside of you. He's alive inside of you. The sound of the rushing mighty wind. The crackle of cloven tongues of fire. It's like a fire. It's like a fire. It's like a fire that is shut up inside of you. And once you get him stirred up, you will come out of your seat. You will come out of your corner. You will do it. So, I'm at this footstool and I'm reading. So far, so good. I understand what Nicodemus is saying. And Jesus replied by saying, except you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. I agree. Which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I agree. No problem. But then, I get down to verse 8. Jesus was a master teacher. He was a master teacher. He taught in parables. A parable is an earthly story of heavenly meaning. Look, simple things that people knew about. And he led them from the known to the unknown. He talked about a fig tree, a mustard seed. But here, he's talking about the wind.
I'm alone in my house. I'm trying to figure this out. Why are these Pentecostals the way they are? Why do they insist on what they insist on? What is this speaking with tongues business? And why do they say to me, you don't have enough. You've got to have more. But I've cried. I've prayed. I have felt the presence of God. God's answered prayer for me. But that's not enough for you people. You stayed on my back with this. And now I'm going to have it out with God. And in verse 8, Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth, or where it was to. And thou hearest the sound thereof. Canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. What's he saying? What is he saying? So I backed up and I read it again. The wind blows where it wants to. And the only clue he gave was thou hearest the sound thereof. Can't see it coming, can't see it going. But you hear the sound of the wind. And he concludes by saying, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And I backed up and I read it again. I thought to myself, what is he saying? I said, Jesus, what are you saying? And all of a sudden, it was like lights went on inside of me. I saw what he was saying. What he was saying was, the wind blows. You can't see it. But when it touches this building, you can hear it whistle under the edge of the roof. When the wind blows through a tree, you can hear the leaves rustling. When the wind blows across the field, you can hear the gentle swishing sound of the wind as it blows through the grain. And he's saying, just as the wind blows, when it touches something and you hear it, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What he was saying was, when you are born of the Spirit, you're going to hear something. That's exactly what he was saying. And I thought to myself, that's it. That's why they speak with tongues. That's where this business of speaking with tongues comes in. That's why they insist on it. They're looking for something they got to hear. And when the Spirit of God becomes alive in them, they hear him. And that's how they know they are born again of the Spirit. And I started to cry. I had lost the battle. I lost the battle. It was over. And I will not lie to myself. Some people will, but I won't. I knew they had it, so I have no choice now but to go back and get the Holy Ghost. I had to go back to them. I had to put away my sword and all my arguments. I had to go back and I had to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it is written. 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 When I was in Bible school, I did a paper, and I called leading obstetricians in the city area, St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis, and I said to them, I'm studying to be a man of the cloth. I'm doing a term paper. I want to ask you questions about what happens when a child is born in the natural. And to my surprise, they were all very, very agreeable. They were very kind, and they were very helpful to me. And I would ask questions like, when a child is born in the natural, what happens when that child is born? And without exception, every one of those doctors said, when a child is born in the natural, the child will cry. One doctor said, when the child is born, the moment the umbilical cord is cut, the child is on its own. It has to develop instantaneously its own viability. It has to become a separate entity apart from its mother's body. And if the child does not cry, we are concerned. We'll turn them upside down, shake them, spank them, massage their back, do something until the crying begins. Because when the crying begins, it sets in motion and in force the autonomic nervous system. And whatever mucus or phlegm is in the system will be expelled, and the child will begin to scream and cry, but the heart will begin to pound, and the lungs will begin to breathe. And they know the baby is alive, and they'll give the child to the nurses for further attention. But let me ask you this. Do they have some nurse or some special team there trying to interpret what the baby is saying? No! The baby's alive, and that's all they're concerned about. They just know the baby is alive because the baby is crying. And with every natural life that comes into this world, sound accompanies that life in the natural. And as long as you are alive, you can expect sound to erupt from that life. Life, day by day, from time to time. The same thing is true in the Spirit. If you've really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can expect Him to erupt from time to time in your life. It's not a once-time situation. It's not a one-time situation. You can speak with tongues every day of your life. You can stir up the wind. You can stir up the wind. You can stir up the fire. You can stir it up inside of you. Clap your hands again, all ye people, and shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have talked to mothers who have given birth naturally to their children. I think they call them Lamaze classes, this thing like that. And I've had the most tremendous time talking with some of them because I've asked questions and I've said to them, what is it like when you feel life being born? And most all of them have said the same thing. They said, Brother Stone King, you would think that you were in a Pentecostal altar service. I said, what do you mean? They say that doctors and nurses say the same type of things we say in altar services. Don't stop. Keep pushing. The child is almost here. We'll hold you up. Don't let go. The baby's almost here. It's almost here. Just push a little harder. Don't let go. I mean, does that sound like something you've heard before? Don't stop praying. We'll hold up your hand. Just keep praying. You're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there. The Holy Ghost is on you. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. Why do we do that? Because life is about to be born. Life is about to be born. That's why we do it. And the moment we hear you speak with tongues, we can sit back and wipe the perspiration off our brow and clap our hands, because the labor is over. When Zion travails, she shall bring forth, and the labor is over, and we can rejoice because a life has been born. A life has been born in the kingdom of God. It's wonderful. So what I'm telling you here tonight is this, that when the Spirit of God takes up residence in your heart and in your soul for the first time, when that baby, as it were, when the breath of God becomes alive in the bosom of your heart, that Spirit will cry. That's what Jesus said in His Word. You will cry, Abba, Father. That Spirit will speak. So, I went back to church. I fought so hard, I had to pray hard to get the Holy Ghost. So, I remember the night I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, October 6, 1963. I had the flu. I was in bed, sick with the flu, but I wanted to get the Holy Ghost. So I called the pastor. I said, I believe if you'll pray, God will give me strength to come to church. And so they prayed for me over the phone. God gave me strength. I went to church, and they preached. And he preached a message, the evangelist, that night. The gates of heaven are standing open. All you have to do is walk through. And I'm telling you, folks, when he stopped preaching, I stood to my feet, and I pictured those gates, and this boy intended to walk through. And I walked down to the altar, and I began to pray and worship God. And it's a long story, but to me, it's a wonderful experience. Because people, there's nothing like this. There never has been. There never will be. This is the best thing that can ever happen to any of you. There's nothing to compare with this. And if I can get most of you tonight, who've had the Holy Ghost very long, to go back to the place where you first found Him, you'd leave here swinging from the rafters. You'd leave here dancing in the Spirit. If you could just go back to the place where you first found Him, if you could forget all the trials and the battles and the devil and people and ugly relatives and all kinds of things, if you could just go back to the place where you first found Him, it would wash away everything. You don't care what people think or do when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just love everybody, even your own enemies. You can just love them because you're just filled with the Spirit and the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I was so weary. I had reached to God. I was so weary. But I was very shy. I was very, very shy when I came into this. I'm an really introvert, an extrovert with the power of the Holy Ghost. I've told you that before. But it's really true. There are still some things I don't like. There's some things I don't like. Because they just aren't relative to my personality. I'm not going to tell you what they are, because you might use them against me. But there are some things I don't like, and I try to stay away from it. And so, I just am like that. So for me to get involved, you know, I was down on my knees like this, and I was praying for the Holy Ghost, and I was down like this, and I was really trying to get the Holy Ghost. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you could stand up on your knees and lift your hands a little higher. See, He's working me over, is what He was doing. And He'll do that. So it's best to cooperate with Him right away. Don't give Him a bad time. Just don't do it. Because you're going to reap what you sow. Do the thing that's right first off. Save yourself the hassle. But I didn't do it. So I said, but Jesus, I can get the Holy Ghost right here. But I felt Him lift from me, and that scared me. So I said, okay, don't go away. I'll do this. I stood up. On my knees, and I had my hands there, and the Holy Ghost came on me. I could feel Him, and I heard Sister Butcher say, He's almost got it. And I thought, oh, great. But then it didn't happen. And then I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, He said, you could stand up on your feet. I said, but God, I can get it right here, like this. I don't need to stretch myself all out in front of all these people. I can get the Holy Ghost right here. He lifted. I could feel Him go away. I said, no, don't go away. Come back. I'm going to get up. I got up on my feet. When I stood on my feet and lifted my hands, the Holy Ghost, it was the most real I had ever felt Him in all the times I prayed. And it was such a tremendous thing. And I began to have stammering lips. I lost control of what I was saying. But English has always been very easy for me, and I've always majored in enunciation, pronunciation, etc., diction. And so for me to let go of my tongue and just let all this garble come out, that wasn't the thing that was natural for me to do. So about the time I'd just about get the Holy Ghost, I'd stop, lick my lips, and swallow. And I just swallowed the Holy Ghost. I mean, he was right there. I almost had Him, but I just swallowed Him. And I had to start over. I start over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The moment I began to lose control, I'd stop, swallow, start over. And I kept swallowing Him. He was trying to get out of here. You've got to yield to Him, people. You can't do your own thing. You've got to do His thing. You can't do your thing. You can do His. I didn't know it. I know it now. I'm telling you, I saved a lot of trouble here. So, I'm standing here praying, and all of a sudden the Lord said, you could stand on your tiptoes. He has a way of humbling you. God will bring you right down. And I needed it. I confess it now. I didn't then, but I needed it. So I raised. But I was tired. I couldn't stay there very long. But when I came down, I was broken. I started to cry. And I had been sick on top of it. And I couldn't stand up. I sat down. I'll never forget it. I sat down like this on the floor. And I raised my hand like this. And I said, Jesus, I've reached up to you as high as I can reach. I cannot reach any higher. You've got to come down to me.
And at that instant, the Holy Ghost fell on me. I began to speak with tongues. It poured out. It just poured out. I spoke with tongues for over an hour and a half. I must have changed dialects and languages 3 or 4 times. It just poured out. It poured out. And they were rejoicing. I could hear them rejoicing. I couldn't have cared less. Because I was tired and I had it and I knew I had it, I could hear it. I got to laughing with it. And so I lay down on the floor on my back and just put my long legs over the back of the pew on the front. Just lay there and spoke with tongues and spoke with tongues. I mean, people, it was so good. In my head, I kept thinking, I've got it. I've got it. I've saved. I'm going to make it. If Jesus comes, I'm going to go on the rapture. Everything's going to be all right. I've got the Holy Ghost. I am being born again. And I just kept at it. And I kept at it. But after about an hour and a half, I opened my eyes and Brother Butcher was leaning over the pew looking down at my face. And I said, I've got it. I'll never forget him saying, he said, I'm afraid you do, boy. He said, you have got it. So I got up from there. I'd already been baptized in Jesus' name. We went upstairs and had something to eat, and I was all ready to do it now because I'm a Pentecostal. I want to get into this. And so at the table now, they asked me to say grace. I burst out speaking with tongues at the table. They finally took me home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I knelt down beside my bed to thank God for giving the Holy Ghost and burst out speaking with tongues again. I crawled into bed about 2:30. When the alarm went off the next morning, I just reached over and turned it off. I got the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. On Monday morning, I reached over and turned the alarm off. I waited till 8 o'clock until the office where I worked opened. I called the office and I said to them, I'm not coming to work today. They said, are you sick? I said, no. I said, but you wouldn't understand. I'm not coming. I had prayed so long to get the Holy Ghost, I declared a national holiday for myself and I took the day off. And so I stayed home from work. And I practiced this Holy Ghost all day long. I sat in the corner recliner. I spoke with tongues. I laughed. I played my LPs. I listened to Pentecostal singing. I spoke with tongues all day long and worshiped God. I declared a national holiday for myself. And I got paid for it. Lift your hands for just a moment. I feel the joy of the Lord in this place. I feel the presence of God in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Believing is not enough. Some verbal confession is not enough. You've got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost exactly as Jesus said in His Word. If you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, take a hold of the person next to you, take a hold of their hand, and just lift your hands together and let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Let the Holy Ghost just speak through you because He is just rippling through this congregation like current on a wire. You can feel Him. You can feel Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You can feel Him becoming wonderfully stirred inside of people who are very near to you. Young people, children are speaking with tongues in this congregation. There are older people. There's a wonderful mother right here just speaking with tongues. Her hand is shaking because it's just as real tonight as it was years ago. And if you stir Him up inside of you, something wonderful begins to happen. If you can feel a power in your body tonight, would you stand to your feet? If you can feel a power inside of you moving, would you just simply stand to your feet? Lift your hands and let your voice out and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you are here tonight and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and stand near the front and lift your hands and begin to worship God. God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's wonderfully in this place. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and stand here tonight. If you want to be really powerfully renewed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and stand here tonight, because the Holy Ghost is in this house. The joy of the Lord is in this house. You can feel Him. You can feel Him. You can feel Him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you who raised your hands, who have never spoken with tongues, if you will simply come and lift your hands here and worship the Lord, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because He wants to get inside of you more than you even want Him inside of you. Don't stop praying now. Don't stop worshiping now. Just continue to worship and continue to pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There are young people here. There are teenagers here. There are children here. These children are wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. That's it. That's it. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. In the name of Jesus, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can come and stand behind these who have gathered here and transmit powerful faith. Just keep coming in the name of Jesus. That's it. Just keep coming in the name of Jesus. Some are beginning to lay hands on already. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. That's it. Just keep on coming in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This woman has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Just lift your hands and let your voice out and worship Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus.
Give us a victory, sin. it fall on me. Let it fall. Holy Ghost, fall on me.
Why don't you just sing
the Holy Ghost rain?
Lord, let
it fall on me.
Oh, yes, sing
the Holy Ghost rain. Give us the victory. Sing the Holy Ghost rain. Let it fall on me. Let it fall.
This man has got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm just speaking with tongues.
Holy Ghost.